This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. Welcome to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. This morning, I am David Ross.
Wait, aren't you always David Ross?
No.
Okay.
Along with George Allman. Ken and Mark have the day off. I guess they are recuperating from the heat.
Maybe so. So we have 50% of the crew. Hopefully, it's at least a 50% show.
You might reach for the stars, George. Reach for the stars. Good morning.
Have a goal. Good morning. How are you?
I am warm. I'm good.
It's toasty.
But there was not a crisp coolness to the morning, was there?
There was not. I was disappointed. I had looked at the weather yesterday, and it indicated that it would be a little cooler in the evening. Obviously still warm, but cooler, but it didn't manifest.
Well, it did get cooler.
Yeah, but not to the degree that was indicated, no pun intended on the degree, that was indicated on the weather channel. Well. But I have a jacket in here, but that was because usually it's pretty chilly in here. I didn't bring it for the weather outside. It was for inside.
The weather outside is frightful.
It's very frightful.
Well, if you like this weather, we're going to have some more of it for you. And I am sure my sister is very pleased that we're having this weather for you.
For me, I'm content with it. It is certainly toasty. I don't like the cold, but I could.
It's bearable.
It's bearable. As long as you hydrate, it's bearable.
And it is supposed to continue.
Well, just for a few more days, we're actually going to be a little chillier,
relatively speaking. Are you taking my lines here?
No. I'm just saying within the next week or so, you can get into the details of it.
It's supposed to stay hot for a couple of days, and then it's supposed to cool down to less hot. And then we're supposed to, mid to late in the week, get a few degrees below seasonal norms, which will be very nice.
It will be. But now September historically is the hottest month of the year.
That does not surprise me.
San Diego.
We always think of it as the beginning of fall and it should be cooling down.
We should be having your pumpkin spice latte and your flannel shirts.
The Santa Anas start coming and it starts getting hot and dry.
It does. And then there's always the fear of fires.
There is a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon and tomorrow, which will be very exciting. I will go. Actually, I don't know if
chasing?
I need to, you know.
That's right. You were on a little bit of a vacation and saw a real one.
I saw real thunderstorms. Yeah. And I missed the first cell that came through because I was off on a mission to pick up
some food.
Pick up food for a rotisserie. And it cleared out before I got back. But when I got back, then we had thunderstorms for most of the night. Power went out. It was wonderful. I was back in Charlotte. And I was not complaining about the humidity.
And as we've said countless times before, because I was just back east as well in Virginia and Carolinas, it's green there for a reason.
Yeah,
because you get those thunderstorms and all that rain during the summer months.
And things grow.
And things grow.
And I have to recognize you and apologize to you. Earlier last month, we are now in September. Do we all agree?
You are correct.
The two of us. And I said early when you were complaining we hadn't had our August rain this year, and I said, give it time.
Oh, that's right. You did promise me some.
And the August rain never materialized.
It did not.
So things are browner, and dry.
Brown and browner.
And not green and lush, except for where we water, which I do have a healthy water bill and healthy plants where I expend that water.
You know, that was one of the notes that I thought we should talk about watering as for the investment, and we can get to that maybe after the class.
So you don't want me to talk about it now.
You want to touch on it now? Go ahead.
No. You're right. Classes. Do we have classes
we
coming up?
We do have classes, despite the heat. At 9 o'clock in San Diego, container gardening with native plants with Christine Hoey of the California Native Plant Society.
Sounds like a bunch of Hoey.
And in Poway at 9:30, Adams is going to be teaching seed saving. And that's a popular class for the vegetable growers. He does a really good job with how to prevent cross-pollinations if you're trying to, you know, maintain a particular strain of a plant. And anyway, good class. Next week in San Diego, it's going to be birding with Christina Scheff of the San Diego Audubon Society. And at 9:30 in Poway, lavender with Ellen.
I need to go to the lavender class.
You know, I thought about that as well. She's going to talk about some of the history, and she's going to touch on all the different varieties and what they can be used for as well. And then some, it should be a fun class. But you can go.
I'm going to be there, so right. It won't be very difficult for me. It won't take much effort for me. And the Audubon class, I bet they're going to talk about setting up your yard as a bird habitat.
And she's actually going to do a class for us in the beginning of next year. So we'll have that up in Poway if you can't make the San Diego store.
If you can't. But if you can,
go.
Get there so that you can set up your bird sanctuary now.
Now, rather than later. Don't put off today what you can put off tomorrow.
Nunca haces hoy lo que puede dejar para mañana.
Don't put off today what you can't put off till tomorrow?
Don't ever do today what you can put off until tomorrow. I think I have it backwards. But you know, in Spanish you would say pepper and salt rather
salt
than salt
and pepper.
And so maybe saying it backwards makes
perfect sense.
I just like the way it rolls
it
off.
It flows.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Balboa Park happenings today. It's such a big happening that it's in room 101, room 103, room 102, room 104, and Patio B. It is the Southern California Plumeria Society Hawaiian Festival sale from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
I wonder if they want any tips on rotisserieing a pig. I can
so that's
help.
Today and tomorrow in Balboa Park.
Excellent. Anything else?
The following week is there are no sales the following week. It's just the Bromeliad Society, Cactus and Succulent Society are having some meetings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything at the Hort Society, or not the Botanic Garden?
Nothing that I pulled up. However, we do have a Plumeria orchid sale. Palomar is having an orchid sale. Palomar.
Thank goodness you reminded me. I'd be in big trouble if we didn't do that. Although they wouldn't know because
it's early in the morning.
Yes.
Are you going to?
What
you
is
wanna,
it?
Okay. So
you may.
Palomar Orchid Society is having an orchid sale this morning at 10 till 2 p.m. And it's at the Dove Library on Dove Lane in Carlsbad.
That's it?
Well, and if you want to learn more about the particular Palomar Orchid Society, their website is palomarorchidalltogether.org. Palomarorchid.org.
Very well done. There should be some neat orchids up there. Ken always talks about the San Diego Orchid Society, but the customer who brought that in was pretty excited about going up there and buying orchids.
And at Palomar, yeah, it should be good. It's in a library. I've not been to the Dove Library in Carlsbad, so I don't know how big a venue it is.
Well, now they're going to need to make room for one more person because
somebody's
probably
going. I hope they do. I hope they get an overflow of people.
Okay, now what do we talk about? Since
back to the watering. You had mentioned that your water bill was high. Ours was high. In fact, when it came in, Capri said, "Just open it and deal with it, but don't tell me what it is," because July and August traditionally is pretty high.
It's a 2-month bill for you, right?
It is, and it was higher than normal. I had a broken pipe somewhere that I didn't know initially was going off, and so the water was coming out at a greater flow rate than it should have. But all that to say, we touched on this a couple weeks ago, that when you put in a landscape, and it doesn't have to be a return on investment on fruits and vegetables, just landscape, you know, plants that are going to either beautify or give you shade, make your home more welcoming, that's an investment, A, in plant material. But the watering is an investment to keep that there. And so some people, they start thinking, well, my water bill's too high. I need to stop watering this. And you lose the years of growth and the beauty and the shade that you get on your home or in the yard. So I always try to at least talk myself into that when it gets to be July, August, and September with the higher water bills.
When I moved out to East County, one of the first things I did was plant a tree on the south and the west side of the house. I'll have to rethink some of that because they're big now. They're Tipuana Tipus, but they have created it's changed the temperature dramatically in the backyard because they cast a huge shadow on the west side of the house. So there's no afternoon sun that hits that side of the house and the roof too. And it dramatically changes.
It changes the house temperature. You can, and you'll have more shade in the yard to sit under. You're, I guess, in theory, if it's working properly and you've shaded your home in the, at the right spots during the right season, you will decrease your air conditioning bill, utility bills there. So it I think it balances out in the long run.
And we talk about microclimates. It creates a totally different microclimate. And what was a full sun, hot burning area is now a mottled sun, cool area that I have orchids and staghorns and
that you couldn't put in the yard prior to that.
That are all hanging and hanging from that tree. It's a whole new ecosystem, really.
And we also have a number of big tipus that provide shade on the house, and it's
back to Charlotte for just a minute. Everything was green back there.
Again, because we had two thunderstorms in July and
two
August,
nights. Yeah. It rained most of the night and it was sunny and hot, but it wasn't a big deal. And my daughter asked, well, she had there were a couple of black, or I don't know what color walnuts or what type, but there were walnut trees growing right up against the house. Yes. And she had told me, I saw the pictures from when they bought the house a couple of years ago, and there were no walnut trees there. But then I went and checked it out. They had been cut back, and then they sprouted back out. So I went to Lowe's back there to try and find the cut vine and stump killer.
Like we sell,
where you just paint put a fresh cut on it, paint it, and it'll kill the trunk. And this was less than a foot from the wall of the house. I don't know if they were volunteers. I doubt it because they're on each corner, but I don't know. But I found a different product. Triclopyr, I think, was the active ingredient. And so I bought a bottle of it, and then I cut it down and painted those trunks. But I came across this little vine, or it came across me, and it was evil.
You thought it was kudzu, though.
I think it was kudzu, but I don't know, because it was just green leaves sprouting out of the ground, but it had sharp, I don't want to say spines, they're not thorns, but they were like sheaths over the buds that were extremely sharp. I didn't notice it until the first one went through my thumb.
Well, what was funny was that you know, you've been gone. So when I saw you yesterday for the first time, you were walking out of the office and you had horizontal scar scabbing across your leg. And what did you do? Look like you fell off a bicycle or something.
No, it was the whatever this vine is.
Got you.
And I'll have to do it. It's like our asparagus.
The wedding, the asparagus aspergoides.
Yeah, and it's not. I wouldn't say thorns per se, but they're kind of bud covers. Joint covers that are extremely sharp, and that's what this was. And everywhere it touched me, I wasn't planning on doing a lot of chopping, but it was in the bushes, and these were volunteering, and I was in shorts, which is probably not the best attire to go chop down trees with.
I just used a botanical term there, asparagus aspergoides. Is that the wedding creeper? Is that what that's called, the common name?
I don't know. I just called it evil because we used to have it volunteering at my parents' house, and it would wind up around the trees that it was under, and if you didn't get to it, it would girdle the trees.
I had it in citrus. A macadamia nut,
and
I didn't plant it. You know, it
was like that tree in Brooklyn.
A tree grows?
That's what it was. It saved Bugs Bunny's life, I'll just have you know. If you would like to give us a call, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with new songs and more garden talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with George Allman, Captain, United States Navy, retired. And before we went into the break, I don't remember what we were doing, but I got a very timely text from my sister, who I don't know why she always takes your side, but poor George, it's either too hot or too cold.
No, it's not too hot. I'm good. It's not too hot, but thank you for the concern.
So apparently it sounded to her.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like apologize maybe. If I made it sound that way. It's not too hot.
It's just right?
It's okay. The porridge. I could handle a little cooler, but I can work in this stuff, so I'm good. Back to the asparagus aspergoides. I called it a wedding creeper. It's actually a bridal creeper or a bridal veil creeper. I was close.
It is very ferny and nice as filler.
It is used as filler.
But I'm told we don't call them filler because that demeans the foliage you put into a cut bouquet. So you should call it accent foliage instead of filler, because accent foliage is positive. Filler is just leftovers.
It's considered a major weed in Australia and New Zealand, and I would argue in San Diego because that just shows up freely, and then
does. And it is hard to get rid of because it has those
kind of like a tuber of some sort.
I think polyps would be
that's a better way. I agree. Yes,
it is a subterranean polyp.
They're difficult to eradicate.
We do have a couple of really good tools for that. That the claws on the back end will pull those out.
Yeah, the little hammer awl kind of thing.
Yes. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Before we went into the break, I was gone last week, but we didn't do the show anyway. But I was in Charlotte, and it is all green there because we have determined through our advanced
scientific research
that it's because it rains there and they get water. But I was attacked by a vining plant with sharp internodes on it, for lack of a better term. So if anybody out there is from that area or just knows what the heck it was, I attributed it to kudzu, but I can't find anywhere where it says kudzu has thorns.
When I was stationed in Tennessee, I traversed my way through a lot of kudzu, and I don't recall ever being cut up by it.
Okay.
And I may be wrong. I may have just hit it the right way, but I don't recall it having thorns.
So this is probably some kind of a evil bridal veil vine.
Of some sort. East Coast bridal veil.
Of some sort.
But now you were back there too, and it's almost autumn. And so how was the weather back there? Was it a little cooler?
When I got there, it was hot. It was in the 90s. It was clear and sunny. But the evenings quickly turned to thunderstorms. That was just in time for preparing the barbecue for the party on Saturday. That didn't work out too well. Well, actually, it worked out fine. But it cooled down Monday, Tuesday. It got into the upper 70s. It was beautiful when I left. And then I came home to this.
Well, we were earlier before the show started on television. They were showing a football game in, was it Michigan?
Michigan.
And everybody has
Ann Arbor.
Everyone has jackets on and hooded, sweatshirts because it's expected, autumn for the rest of the country.
Expected to get to 61 in Ann Arbor, Michigan,
which is
today.
When it's football weather, traditionally nationwide, that's cool, crisp weather, not necessarily here.
It's funny. That's what you took from what we were seeing on the TV behind us. What I saw was the food. They were prepping all sorts of food.
I saw that too, but I just noticed how everyone looked a lot more bundled up this morning in preparation.
I am not ready for 61 degrees. All of my tropicals hanging in the tree in the backyard are looking great. So I'm okay that it's staying warm.
Are they frost susceptible? Do you have to do something with them or do you leave them? Do you put a light?
I usually leave them. Okay. I don't do much, but I've been thinking this year, because I've purchased some of the specialty houseplants we got in a few weeks ago in the 4-inch pots, the Ring of Fire philodendron, and a couple others, Gesundheit.
Excuse me.
And they're probably not going to be too happy out there in the winter. So I was thinking I could put under the tree, I could put plastic and make it like an umbrella under the tree to keep in the radiating heat. I will not do that because it's going to be way too much effort.
It.
But I was thinking about how to keep it warm.
Right.
And that is one good thing about a Tipiwana tipu is they hold their foliage through the winter. They don't drop their leaves usually until late winter.
So when everybody else is pushing their new growth, it gets naked. It's pretty bizarre.
Done. Yeah. But I did notice one of my, it was a crinum. It wasn't the naked lady. But have you noticed the naked lady bulbs blooming all over town, the Amaryllis belladonna?
I put some in our yard, and we had one that I saw so far pop up underneath a jacaranda, dwarf jacaranda.
I had the first bloom spike started in early to middle August. Now everything, all of them are blooming. And I have a bunch of different shades of them. Traditionally, they're just a light pink,
right?
Pale pink. And they are called naked ladies because they bloom in the fall after they drop their foliage. They're just
a flower
naked,
spike.
Naked yeah. for lack of a better term.
Right.
The spike comes out of the ground. And I have one that I got from the now deceased Bill the Bulb Baron. And it is deep, deep, deep rose pink. It's the color of the pink on that piece of paper next to you, which is much
richer. Very pink for those who can't see it.
I can see it, and yep. you can see it. But, and then I have ones that I found out in the National Wildlife Reserve on the hike I do up on Miller Ranch. And this is kind of pickety. It is almost white in the center, but it goes to a rose pink at the edges. And it looks really neat. And they look like seedlings that were
from
started up there.
From old homesteads around the area?
There's a foundation remaining up there, some olives. It looked like they planted olives up there on the hillside. And that and chasmanthi grow wild up there.
Well, but, you just reminded me that I actually have a bag of gladiolas, I think, and a bag of... naked ladies that one of our customers gave me that is sitting in the garage that I really should get in the ground. I just pulled a David with that. I need to get them in the ground.
Better too.
Yeah. I will do that this weekend.
How long have you had them?
Not that long. A couple weeks. So.
Yeah, I have a couple of naked lady bulbs in my backpack that I meant to get out of the backpack and into the ground prior to going on vacation. Didn't make it.
Just don't leave them in a hot garage.
Oh, I took him out of the hot car and put him in the hot garage. Do you have any other tips for me?
Yeah.
Naked ladies are blooming. Are you still harvesting anything?
We are. The last of the flavor grenade pluots, as far as the soft fruit, you know, the stone fruits are going.
How do you like that?
I like them. It's probably not my favorite of the soft fruit, stone fruit that we have, but I like it. I go out there and eat a lot of them. It's a good late fruit, and I eat a lot of them. I go out there and...
I can tell.
They're good for you. I eat a lot of them when I'm... But right now we have a influx of hornets on them. The birds have pecked a few, and once they peck them, then the hornets just start going all over it.
Right before I left town, I was going down to lock up the chickens, and I was shining my flashlight across the yard, which I do, and eyes came flashing back at me, and I went to investigate further. It was a huge raccoon on top of my fence eating my Concord grapes.
Ooh.
It was painful. He left. I didn't do anything other than make noise and scare him away, and I haven't noticed him back, but... something has been eating the grapes. This is about, just this one section is probably about 10 or 15 feet of fence line that is covered, was covered with fruit. Now it's covered with stems. Now, when I was growing up, we were admonished if we picked the grapes off of the stems and left them in the fruit bowl. Did you have that issue?
Of leaving the stems in the fruit bowl?
Yeah, and partially just pulling a grape off, right. Or you have to take your little stem
your
section.
Clump, yes.
No,
I don't think I was admonished for that one.
Not an issue. Well, that's what these. I'm guessing rats and squirrels during the squirrel was in there during the day. It's a never-ending battle. I did only get the macadamias I harvested about a month ago because all the rest of them are gone.
The rodents have been particularly bad this year, and I think we mentioned it once, but our roses looked like somebody had come in with a pair of electric clippers and at a uniform height just went down the 30 roses and just clipped them. But then I found deer droppings and a couple deer footprints.
Huh,
and
so I wonder if that's coincidence, you think?
They might have been there with their electric shears cutting it down, but we've had deer in the yard. There are droppings here and there.
It's possible that your neighbors are stealing your roses. They're coming by and clipping them, but they have the little poles with the deer hoof marks on them.
Oh, got it. And they're dropping stuff to look like deer droppings.
Yes, they're just covering, they're covering their tracks, so to speak. Yes. You think that's possible?
I doubt it, but it's a nice
theory. I'm out of fruit except for the grapes and the, actually I have a lot of pomegranates coming, but you just mentioned that the rodents are particularly bad this year. And they're already eating my green pomegranates. I have the sides shaved off of a lot of fruit where they have taken about a silver dollar size chunk of skin and starting to eat the fruit already.
Our apples are, we do have apples that we're starting to eat now as well, and they are getting eaten by rodents. I'm not sure what's getting them. Probably rats, but.
You know, I have a cat. There's a cat that visits my yard. And
feral?
He was there. I don't know. I think so. He was there this morning when I went out. He was he was just on the other side of a rabbit, and I scared the rabbit one direction and the cat went the other direction. I don't know if that's why he was right there, but I don't think he's doing his job, because I have way too much rodent damage for him to be doing his job.
We were sitting on our front porch last evening, and I watched a gopher come out of a hole and go about 8 feet over the soil, over the lawn, not the lawn, the front yard, to the roses, and started eating roses.
The foliage from the top?
The cane, started chewing on a cane, a little gopher, right on the side. We have a number of roses that have gopher's holes, and they've been chewing the canes. I watched one. It's been resolved.
Okay, good. You know, I still have been harvesting from the ground my onions. I left them in the ground, and I harvest them as I need them.
Ours, the few that were left remaining that went to seed are hollowed inside, I left them for the birds. Not the birds, the bees, but they're too hollow inside now.
They're not. Mine are still functional, and some of them did not flower. The biggest ones did not flower.
Interesting.
Which makes me very happy. But they are where they get sun in the winter, and then they kind of get shade early in the day from a tree in the summer, so I can leave them there, and they're still there available to me.
That's good.
You are listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you would like to give us a call, the number is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take a break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk. I am David Ross, along with George Allman. Ken and Mark have the day off. We're becoming much more hip with our music today.
I did not even recognize that.
I didn't either. That's why we call it new music.
New music.
Don't you feel more hip now?
I'm going to wear my sunglasses when I'm in here.
Do you wear your sunglasses at night?
No.
Your future's so bright, you got to wear shades.
I'll wear sunglasses to be extra hip.
If you would like to give us a call and hopefully tell me what it was that attacked me in Charlotte, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170.
So as we were going into the break and we were talking about pests, you had mentioned that you were losing grapes.
You know, I had kind of come to clarity with it. I was okay with it, and
I'm bringing it back now,
and it's
hurtful.
It is hurtful. I love my Concord grapes.
I know, and you've brought them in. They're quite tasty.
And I love my seeded Concord grapes because, one, it adds texture. There's little to no flavor from the seeds, and the seeds are currently...
Today's science says
they're good for us. Right. I know we were just talking about that before the show, that science is changing.
Margarine was good for you once. Remember that?
Yeah. What was it that you, the fish oil. Well, fish oil.
Anyway. Yeah. But so I'm bringing back this painful moment in your
of
life.
Of my fruit, yeah. The fruits of my labor being stolen.
But you're a lazy gardener. So like me, so there's not that much labor.
That is true because these are growing.
Right.
There's probably 20 feet in every direction of this vine. It's hanging from the avocado tree. It's on the fence. But I have foliage on my grapes.
Well, that's interesting you say that. I was going to go there. So you were losing fruit. You're losing the grapes to rodents. We lost about a half of a very large grapevine to the Western grape leaf skeletonizer.
Which is a very pretty caterpillar, isn't it?
It is a pretty caterpillar. And it's actually a very pretty moth. And that's what sparked this week's Wednesday Wisdom was I was walking around the yard and I saw this beautiful moth on the ground and I knew it was the skeletonizer. I took a photograph of it. Turned out really nice. It has kind of a metallic blue hue to it. And so I said, oh, a grape skeletonizer in the yard. Let me walk over to the grapes, which are the far side. And when I got over there, I found out why I had these moths flying around because they had decimated about half the plant. And when they lay their eggs, they all hatch and they start eating on the leaf at their earliest stages as these tiny little caterpillars. And so if you go to our Wednesday Wisdom on our Facebook page, you can see some really good pictures, plus the UCIPM discussion about their life cycle and how to get rid of them. And I'll cut to the chase. The way to get rid of them, like any other caterpillar, is BT or spinosad. Works
all
quite
right.
Well.
I thought you were going to make them go to the website, and I'm glad.
Well, they
you...
can, but... The...
No, no.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot of good information on there.
Do they eat your grapes? Did you have any grapes on
that
your
one?
Grape
actually,
vine?
No. It was.
What
a,
is it?
It's a flame, okay. And it was.
They produce early.
They produce early, and what we had gotten were also already eaten by the rodents. So, it's right at the fence. So we the deer come up to it. The rats come up to it. The squirrels in the daytime. It's not a protected area.
I gotcha. Yeah. No, this is right in the heart of my protected area, which isn't well protected. And another problem with that is I like to just go walk down and eat some grapes. But if half of the cluster has been eaten by some kind of wild animal, probably does not have the same sanitation or sanitary
requirements. Yeah, you're not as likely to just pull it off without washing it. And then exactly. I understand
They're
that.
Messing with my whole syndrome.
Do
you have any idea
guy.
How many times a day I wash my hands?
Oh, I do. You're like Felix Unger.
only with the hands. I was Oscar Madison with the rest.
With the rest of your
yes.
life.
Yeah. Yes. For those of you who are under the age of 60.
Over the old age of 60.
No, under the age of 60. They're not going to know who Oscar
Madison
and Felix
Unger
are, so you're going to have to explain.
An old show called The Odd Couple.
It was a great show.
It was a great show.
And a great movie and a great play.
And the one was a very neat and tidy individual and a little OCD, which when it comes to hand washing, David certainly is. And the other was much like myself, a little bit more slobbish. Not slobbish. I can take a little less tidiness. Yes.
Well, you spent a lot of time. Well, anyway. We good?
We're good.
Okay.
So what are you going to touch on now?
I don't know. I'm still bitter about the fruit that I'm losing. And I've employed different measures and the different types of safe to use rat.
Oh, right.
Rat things in the yard. But I don't think they're doing their job. So I'm trying to decide what's next.
I think it's a little bit more challenging when you're on property, when you have, it's not a little quarter acre, a little, you know, where you can put some stuff in the corners and really control it. But when you have a large property like you do, it's a little bit more difficult to get control and then more importantly, maintain control.
Control. Right. I need to get rid of the old alpaca corral and stall too, because that I'm sure provides harborage for things, as I've learned recently. My garage, working on that.
That's right. You mentioned that.
I got rid of, and I found the missing trap as well. So it was a good day. If you want to, I'm going to switch back to onions, which have not yet arrived, but the fall bulbs have begun
to
trickle in. And with those came the beginnings of garlic, but just the common three or four varieties of garlic. Do you have
actually only one? It was a softneck garlic that came in and elephant garlic.
Okay. And we're probably 2 to 4 weeks away from having the dozen or so named varieties of garlic we will be getting. But those will arrive soon. What else did we get in? I know we had the Erginias. Did you see the Erginias? The sea squills, those giant bulbs?
Yes. They look great. They're big.
And they are starting to bloom. They're sitting in crates in the store, and their bloom spikes are coming up. If you have not seen the sea squill, it is a Mediterranean bulb that will naturalize here. It gets to be the size of much bigger than a softball. As big as a basketball or a volleyball. Somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between. And the flower spikes can get up to 6 feet tall. It's more of a desert bulb. It's very drought tolerant. Very drought tolerant.
My first experience with them was coming out of the desert in North Africa in Tunisia and heading towards the coast. And I saw these bulbs. And they, too, are naked lady-ish. They drop their foliage in April. And then the bloom spikes come up now while there's nothing there. No foliage there, and they were just growing on the side of the road, and the spikes were 6 feet tall, and they got nothing but natural, occasional, very little rainfall.
How would you describe the foliage? The
I would describe it as thick, lush, and kind of a upright rosette of thick, I would say almost garlic-like
leaves. Equate it to some of the agapanthus, how they come out, but they die back. Obviously, they'll just die off. But that's what I was trying to explain it to them.
That sounds good. It's a very lush looking. They start leafing out in probably November after they get done blooming, and the 6 foot bloom spike has hundreds of flowers on it, and they take a while. And then the spike dies down, and then the foliage comes up, and they are very lush through winter. And then around April, as it starts to warm up, the foliage starts to yellow. My natural reaction was, give it more water.
But you don't have to do that.
It doesn't need any. And it's because the foliage was going through its natural cycle and dropping and sits dormant all summer long. And then as fall approaches, they start to put up their bloom spikes.
And bees like the flower spike So if you want to have some pollinating plants in the yard for the fall and winter, it's a great plant for bees.
And it is a bulb you will have to do nothing to. It, like the naked ladies, will naturalize here and bloom year after year, multiply year after year with no effort on your part. What else was over there?
As far as the bulbs we had crocus, ranunculus.
Did you notice, was it the Crocus sativus?
It was the giant autumn.
Okay. I'm going to have to look at my...
Tulips, giant autumn, crocus, and the ranunculus.
And the tulips, of course, are going to need to be chilled. They're going to need winter
chill.
Simulated winter chill. Why did that word have problems? Am I getting old?
Older than when you came in this morning, started the day.
Okay, now I have to look at the crocus. So, the colchicum. That's the one, the giant autumn crocus. That's what you said. I didn't know that name. That will bloom on the counter, just like the Erginia, the sea squill, or the naked lady. You can just set it on the counter, watch it bloom, and then plant it afterwards, and it will grow and come back next year. And right next to it, we have the spider lilies. And those two will naturalize here. The Lycoris, that is a great bulb, the yellow and the red one.
Those are nice, yeah.
They usually have a few more varieties at the San Diego store because people are still more believing
in
the promise of tomorrow.
When you plant a bulb.
Yes.
Right. I'm going to plant those bulbs in the next few days as well.
You should get some Lycoris. Do you have any of those at your house?
I don't think so, no. No. What I've been doing, though, is kind of like guerrilla planting. I have all these bulbs throughout the yard, and it's really fun to just see these things come up that weren't expected.
Weeding to remove them, so
no,
you don't have to worry about that?
No, it works well.
Have you put any in the front area by the porch?
Yes, there's an herb garden in the front, and the herb garden has a fair number of bulbs within it. And so, in fact, I just cut out a fair number of the gladiolas that were done, cleaning that up, cut off the tops. But there are freesias, gladiolas in there, a couple lilies, one or two other. It's gorgeous. Just, okay. That's nice.
You might.
Go ahead.
No, no.
I was going to say that, we often say, what are you planting this time of year? And I just mentioned I was going to plant some bulbs, but I'm not planting anything because it's too hot. So have you done anything yet? Are you putting like your winter garden in yet?
Oh, heck no. All right. But I'm doing a lot of work with the tropicals I was telling you about and repotting. And I had containers all over the yard. And so right before I left town for a week, containers all over the yard that I was watering manually. So right before I left town for a week, I put them all together under the tree to make it easier for my neighbor to come over and water them all at once. And it not only made it easier for my neighbor.
The plants probably look a little bit better.
They look better, and it makes it much easier for me when I came back. So
they're going to stay there.
Yes, they are. Okay. I'm going to work on making it all work a little bit more. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk on KPRZ and KCBQ, and we will be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with George Allman. If you would like to give us a call and tell me what vine in Charlotte scratched me, the number is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. That's the last time I'm going to mention it this morning on the show. I'm not going to beg.
I think you have been begging.
Anymore. I'm not going to beg anymore.
I've done enough.
About that. So last time we came back from the break, I was talking about how hip we are with this music. It is not hip. This is still old stuff, like we are old. It's just a little more upbeat.
And new to us.
It's new to us. Yeah, it's not hip. Thank goodness, because that's something I...
It's hip to be square, as Huey Lewis in the news used to sing.
I'm not oft accused of being hip. Square?
Right up there.
All the time, yeah. You know, I just got reminded of that this last week. It's always good to go visit the kids so they can remind you that you're
especially with
Squaresville,
all of their,
daddy-o.
With all their peers, yeah.
Yes, sir. And I did meet quite a few of them. So where were we going here?
Well, I had mentioned if you were planting anything, you know, as the fall season approaches, which is on the 22nd of September, so we're not quite there yet, but... And we don't really have a fall for a while.
Well, that's not the fall season. That's fall.
That's fall. But the next day is the fall season, so it starts... it starts that day. Fall season starts, but not for us in Southern California.
No, because it's some of our warmest, driest, bestest days.
But we
are September and October.
You know, your summer garden starts to decline, and you become very anxious to get your winter garden in. And Farmer Roy and I were talking the other day as he's getting ready to put stuff in, and he taught a class for us two weeks ago or so on brassicas, because that's the big thing that people want to put in, right?
For those of you who don't care, we're talking about kale that you can grind up in.
Well, kale and broccoli and cabbage and a host of other things.
Yeah, true.
So
and broccoli,
which does very well. Yeah.
I have one left ahead of broccoli now, or cauliflower now, because some of it looks really good in the stores right now. But buying it and bringing it home, putting it in the fridge, that works great. But it hasn't seemed to help my nutrition in any way, shape, or form.
Because you're just leaving it in the fridge, much like everything in the garage.
Until it goes to the chickens. I'm sorry, you were talking about brassicas.
I was just thinking about how when he taught the class, our buyer at the Poway store, Brian, brought in a bunch of brassicas, so we would have them for people to purchase after the class, because you get motivated and ready to go. And it's just too early right now to put those in.
Is it?
I think so. They're going to bolt. I think they would. I would not put mine in yet.
Do you think that's why Hussein Bolt's name is Hussein Bolt? Because he goes so fast, it's like a brassica bolting and going to seed before you can even notice
That's probably exactly why, yes. That's the reason.
I just realized that.
That's exactly the reason.
You know, but it is not too early to plant the rest of the fall crops, the root crops and things.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because
right.
Beets and carrots and turnips and rutabagas, because you just don't want them ripening. You don't want to be harvesting when it's this hot, because that's when they're not good. But they will. They're
it'll
2 months
cool down
from,
a bit, right?
They're 2 months from harvest, and we are probably just days away from the soils cooling down and the nights cooling down, and the season, as you were mentioning, is going to change prior to the day.
Correct. Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm confident.
The hottest day on record in San Diego, San Diego proper? Do you recall? We talked about this.
Well, I don't recall, but I could look at where you have it written on this piece of paper.
Oh, that's right. I have it in front of you. That's
yes.
Cheating. So what is it? When was it?
It was on the 11th.
No.
The 26th of September in 1963.
What was the temperature?
111 degrees at Lindbergh Field.
And the reason
No, it wasn't at San Diego International. It was Lindbergh Field in 1963.
Then, yes. What was interesting, though, is you just said that it's going to start cooling down, and that's September 26th when we hit it. So there's still a chance of some heat.
It is.
Yeah.
We will definitely have heat because the Santa Anas are coming.
But the nights
October, November, we have some really hot days. But
the nights typically cool off.
The nights are cool,
right.
And the soil's cooling, and all of the things that need to happen for, air quotes, fall are beginning to happen.
I agree.
The sun's already lower in the sky, and the house doesn't get as hot, even though it's hotter outside than before.
And the days are shorter.
Yes, sir.
Right? What did we say, about 2 hours? Almost 2 hours shorter?
It was an hour and 45 minutes or something
from the peak in June to where we are right now.
You made me say that. That's you are the one that's supposed to
say
that.
I'm teaching you how to fish. So.
Okay, good. But it is all going to begin to happen, and then I have to figure out what I'm going to do with those tropicals that are hanging in the tree in the backyard. But we still have 3 months. It's November.
Oh, yeah.
November Santa Anas are some of the most beautiful weather we have, as long as we don't have any serious fires because of them. It's such great weather.
Agreed.
All right.
So in your yard, what are your most, right now with this heat, what plants are you most bulletproof that are just really doing
well? This time of year, what shows better than anything else is the Tacoma family. What is their common name? Yellow bells?
Depends on which one. Yeah, yellow bells, the Cape honeysuckles.
Well, yes, the Cape honeysuckle. Actually, the Tacomas do better than the Cape honeysuckle. Is that more common?
Very common,
deep
yes.
orange one.
Right.
And the ones on the bank between Walter Anderson Nursery and Poway and Scripps Poway Parkway look like they're almost dead because they haven't had any water all summer.
Right.
But they will come back as soon as we get a good rain. And if we had gotten that August rain, which we didn't get, they'd look good already. But the Tacoma family.
And I would say Bougainvillea.
Bougainvilleas look good. The Grevillea family. I have a scarlet sprite Grevillea in my front yard that loves the heat, but the bees, which were there a week ago, I don't think they like the 110 degrees or 105
degrees. No, they're out looking for water everywhere.
They went somewhere else. Do we have classes coming up?
We do. Today at 9 o'clock in San Diego, container gardening with native plants with Christine Hoey of the California Native Plant Society. And at 9:30 in Poway, it is seed saving with Adams.
I don't need to attend the seed saving class with Adams because I didn't put any of my stuff in the ground. But you know what I did right before I went on vacation? I got rid of all the containers I had tomatoes that were fruiting in the six packs, sitting in the basins of other pots that I'm working on cleaning and clearing.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. I'm going to bring in some used shirts and things that I've found, not my own, my kids' stuff that I'm getting rid of, that bring it to the nursery before I donate it to
good call for the young
somebody
guys.
Somebody else, see if anybody wants it. Would you give those two classes one more time?
9 o'clock, container gardening with native plants in San Diego from the Christine Hoey from the California Native Plant Society. And at 9:30, seed savings with Adams. And if you are into orchids in
The North
Carlsbad,
County.
Carlsbad, North County. Palomar Orchid Society has an orchid sale from today at the 7th from 10 till 2, and that is at the Dove Library in Carlsbad on Dove Lane.
You have been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.